Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to Unfinished with Anderson Miller. I'm your host. Today's show is supported by the Louisville Slugger Hitting Science Center. First of all, I just want to say thank you for your time. Welcome to the show. Before we get started, please go subscribe to Unfinished wherever you're listening to this from. Rate us 5 stars. Leave a review. Share this with your friends. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter, @PodUnfinished. Repost this, retweet, share it with your friends, all that stuff. Show some love. I would really appreciate it. Today's episode, we're going to get some laughs in. I got my friend here. He's viral on TikTok. Andrew Hatcher.
What's up?
My man. Welcome to the show.
I've been waiting for this for a while. I've been excited.
Have you?
Like, listening to all the episodes. I can't wait.
Good, man. Yeah, we're here. We're in Lexington, Kentucky, our hometown. Been around the world and back since I feel like we've both been here at the same time.
A lot of Kentucky to Arizona action.
Man.
Never thought I would be back here.
For both of us. You spent some time in Arizona, man. Do you miss it?
Yes. Arizona is the greatest state ever created.
You know what?
Absolutely.
The more places I go and the more I think about it, I'm like, man, it's nice in Arizona. The weather, the people are just healthy.
It's hot every single day. It's hot. It's warm. And Kentucky, you know, we're getting snow tonight. It's icy. It's, you know, they're canceling. It's not fun.
School's getting canceled. It's always gray. It's January right now.
People, here's my big thing. Arizona, it's always sunny. It's always hot. You get the occasional, hey, it's a little rainy. This is a pleasant surprise. Kentucky is, it's always raining for the most part. And then when you get that nice overcast with no rain, all the old folks are like, oh, it's a great day outside. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? It is not. It is wet. My shoes are soaked. My socks are wet. This is not fun.
Not only that, but then everyone in Lexington decides to get out on the roads and then you're gridlocked with
terrible drivers.
New circle, terrible drivers and slow lights, and it's just a bad combination. And then people just don't know how to. And then if it is snowing, the emergency lights come on and people are just clogging up everything.
So let me say, because we've both been Kentucky to Arizona.
Yes.
So you're familiar with New Circle Road.
I am.
And for the people that don't know, New Circle Road is a circle. It takes you everywhere in Lexington. And then you've got the 101 in Arizona, which is like a massive New Circle. And New Circle Road is 2 lanes. The 101 is 5 lanes. I shit my pants first time I got on the 101. I was 19 years old. Had no idea how to merge 4 lanes over to the HOV lane. Yeah.
I got my first taste of that when I went to Western and I was in Nashville and I didn't realize that this lane was closed from 3 to 5 and I almost got pulled over. It was just a disaster.
Oh, I'd be in the HOV lane with my kids. Got pulled over one time. I was like, sir, I've got a 3-month-old in the car. Technically, it's 2 people. I was like, please don't give me a ticket.
Well, how long ago was that? Because now you've got 3.
I've got 3 kids. I've got a 7, a 5, and a 3-year-old. And this was when my first kid was born. So this was 7 years ago?
Yeah. So that's part of why I have you on here is because I'm a father-to-be, and I don't really know if anybody knows what they're doing. I'm just trying to learn as I go and just try to get notes from people and try to learn from what my parents did right and what they may have not done right. So you got any advice for me?
One kid is easy. No matter how it's going to be hard. You're going to be like, the second that child is born, which I'm excited, by the way. I love it. I'm like one of the friends out of everybody that, let alone has one kid. I've got 3. So now to see everybody else become a parent, I love it. And that first night you get home and you don't get to sleep, you don't get to sleep in. You just wake up. Like whenever the baby wakes up, you're going to be like, oh, this sucks. That is easy. You've got one kid. When I have all 3 kids and then I have 1 kid, I'm like, wow, this is a walk in the park. What was I doing?
The thought of 3 is a little scary. I feel like the best way I can describe where we're at right now with the pregnancy and everything is that it's like the honeymoon phase of dating or meeting someone special.
It's exciting. It's new.
You know, the bump's growing and we're taking pictures and we're getting all these gifts and everything. But something tells me that there's going to be this like period. It's the second trimester. We're transitioning, getting closer to the third. And like something tells me that once literal shit starts flying in the air and we're having a boy, so once we start, you know, things start whizzing around, all the honeymoon might leave the vibe, I guess.
It will. I literally had my kid was 4 months old, I think. He could have been a month old, could have been 4 months old. We had a diaper changing station right next to our balcony, third floor in Arizona. I'm sleeping peacefully. I hear my ex-wife at the time start freaking out, saying, "Andrew, come here." I walk out. There's literal poop splattered on the blinds. It's like 3 feet away. She was wiping him and, like, you know, ready, set, aim, fire, and he just shitted all over the like, I was wiping poop off the blinds. Like, no one said this in the father handbook that this would be happening. And I've had baby throw up straight, you know, playing airplane. You know, 1, 2, 3, bring him back down. Like mama bird, baby bird, throw up straight into the guzzle. And I've literally had to sprint to the sink, throwing up, just spray my throat.
See, that's...
You're in for all sorts of bodily functions and fluids.
Yeah, that sounds great. I also won't be participating in the up-down baby exercise because I've just...
Not after feeding.
I've heard too many stories about that. And I'm one of those people that, like, you know, you see other people start crying and then you start... You're like, oh,
if I see baby throw up, I'm throwing up too.
I'm crying. Yes. And then I see somebody, it's just like, I see you throw up over here, and I'm like, whoa. And then I throw up, and then it's just this giant chain reaction.
Exactly. You get the circle, you got this little vomit circle that you're going on here, and that's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I can't. I mean, honestly.
You got to think, I've had 3 boys. So I know I can expect what you're going
to
go through.
Oh, that's why you're here, because you've got the handbook. You've got the how to raise boys for dummies and experts. I'm not really sure. We might be a little bit of both.
I think a fun fact, no one knows what they're doing. No matter how much they say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. We're all just out here winging it, praying it works, and hoping for the best.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting just from general all age groups. Everyone's like, oh, well, we did this back then, but if we had this, we would have done it differently. And I'm just like, okay, so yeah, you really just were just going with the flow and just, oh, if it works, like, we're going to keep doing it. And if it doesn't work, you're like, oh, shit, onto the next thing.
You're going to get your payback. That's what's going to happen. However you treated your parents, you're going to get a whole serving of it.
Man, I feel like I didn't... I don't feel like I really pissed them off like that.
You don't think so, but then once you have a kid,
But I don't know. But I have heard stories of my wife, Andy, I love you, that she had some moments growing up that weren't her best. We'll leave it there, open for interpretation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't meet her there, and I'm probably glad I didn't, because we wouldn't be where we are now. And to be honest, she was actually probably a foot taller than me in fifth grade, which I came to find out because I was a little short guy until my dad's jeans kicked in about junior year. You always towered over me.
I was gonna say I was always taller until tonight.
Until you weren't.
Now I'm not only not taller, but I'm also not as big and bulky either. So, you know, I'm lacking the height and the muscle on this. So yeah, it's a big change.
Well, whatever you're lacking, you're making up for with funniness and
exactly.
Charisma, personality, and at least you're not working out for a living, trying to hit a little white ball and catch a white ball.
Oh God. I've been to the gym lately. Not this year. That was my,
your resolution.
No, I did not do a resolution because I never stick. I called it a New Year's revolution 1 year. My mom will give me crap, but it's been like 14 years. This was high school. And I said, my New Year's revolution. And she was like, oh, are you going to be on the Redcoats or the Americans? And I was like, what are you talking about? So no, and just, you know.
Also, shout out Charlene. She's a saint.
I've got some jokes. I've got some stand-up jokes prepared for my mom and dad when they're there that they don't know is going to happen. And I don't know how comfortable they're going to be once it's said.
I don't know who's going to be listening to this podcast. And, you know, it could be anybody from our...
I guarantee my mom will listen to this podcast.
See? Good. That's the thing. This is the weird thing about a podcast, because, like, you know, I get the metrics of whoever's listening or whatever. And, you know, people comment on TikToks. Yes. And people comment on Instagram photos when they like what they see. I don't know who's listening to this. It's all just shadow, just lurking. Except for the rare person that kind of sticks their neck out and is like, hey, this is pretty good. Like, whatever. But honestly, I don't care. I'm not doing it to figure out who's listening. But if you are listening right now, I appreciate you. This is probably going to be one of the best episodes ever. Andrew, me and him grew up together. Just for some context on why we're here. We grew up together from what? Like, when did we first meet? Probably like 7.
Oh, we can go. You got to think. I've got a 8. Mind. I remember every little single detail.
I feel like I do too.
Non-important.
Oh, I know all the unimportant stuff.
So we've got. So we'll just say we go.
Set the stage for us.
We go way back, like Cadillac seats. I have a vivid memory, and I'm curious if your mom hears this and listens to it, or just this little piece.
Oh Lord.
This had to have been 6th grade basketball, because we were only the 6th graders to make the middle school team at the time, and we went to McDonald's one night. And we were, you know, stay the night, play FIFA, guitar. It was Guitar Hero we played all night.
Yes.
And your mom was like, Andrew, what do you want to eat? And I was like, I want 5 McChickens and 2 fish fillets. And her face was like, are you, what do you mean? And we did. I got 7 sandwiches. I think you had a handful to eat. But I just remember your dad being like, who is this fat ass kid? Like, what did you just order? And we had 7 sandwiches and we played Guitar Hero all night long.
And that's then, what dreams are made of. I don't then, know what you're, I don't know why even, you're feeling guilty
get
about
into
that.
The World Series, which is my only, you know, my only bragging point.
Are you tooting your own horn right now?
I'm going to be the man. I'm going to be the 40-year-old man who didn't make it in sports, and I'm going to toot the one story that. And anybody who knows me is rolling their eyes back right now. I won in the World Series. I was the batting champion. No one will ever take that away from me.
I remember.
You can make the Hall of Fame, which I hope you do.
Thank you.
But I have this one little accolade.
Hey, I think it's one to hang your hat on. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I think I'm just trying to just see where I end up and then ride off into the sunset. I don't know where the sunset is, but...
Well, I hope that sunset ends in Cincinnati so I can have tickets to go watch a Reds game and watch you out there, and we can get me and all 3 of my kids wearing Miller Time uniforms,
I really like what you're saying right here, just because, you
don't
know.
Don't be a Yankee uniform.
Hey, man, I'm at the point.
You'd be the only Yankee I would ever wear a jersey of.
Not Chad Green?
I don't
former
know
guest, former guest
maybe
of the show.
If I ever meet him, maybe.
That's understandable. So there's
I've used him on MLB The Show. So shout out to Chad Green.
Shout out, Chad, man. Probably see you at the gym tomorrow. Probably doing the same stuff as usual, just working hard and throwing 98. Just another day in the life. What a life, man. I've actually, just kind of thinking about it, I've actually got some ties to the Yankees now. My former volunteer assistant in college is now their hitting coach. He just recently got hired. Casey Dykes, if you're out there listening to this, get me in some pinstripes. I'm tired of being a free agent. No. Great dude. But yes, back to the Reds thing. That sounds fantastic. That was my squad growing up. Were you a Reds fan growing up?
Yeah, I think. Right behind you, on my fridge, like a typical dude, I've got 2 Reds hat, a Braves hat, a Cubs hat, a Royals hat. Shout out to the Royals at the time. That, you know,
we can say shout out Royals, maybe pre-2022 right. / I don't know what, because... You never know. I may find my... I don't know. Hey, this show's called Unfinished because life, just like parenting, nobody knows what the hell is going on and where the hell we're going next.
Retweet.
So, yeah. I thought you were a Braves fan.
I am. Chipper Jones and Ken Griffey Jr. are my 2 idols in terms of the baseball. And then shout out to Tim Wakefield, who threw a nasty knuckleball, which led me to throwing a knuckleball.
Your knuckleball was unbelievable.
It was nasty. It was nasty. And it is, and I love it that you are a professional baseball player and you're going to make it to the bigs. But that was my dream. That was my dream. And my advice to my kids going through school will actually be pay attention. Think about what you want to do for your future, not just sports. Because once sports got taken away from me, I was like, now what?
That's a good point. So kind of back to the parenting thing, just to circle back on that. Like, I feel like we're just all trying to learn as we continue to progress through life, and every generation's coming after the next one. We're like trying to learn from the best things that our parents did. apply those things, and maybe where they didn't fill in the holes or came up a little short because they were just probably doing the best they could, to learn from those things and try to pass them down to our kids. So just hearing that, and I saw your oldest son last year.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, yo, what? He's huge.
Oh, he's going to overtake me in a couple. I'm going to have to hit the gym by the time he's 16, or else he's going to be telling me what to do. They're not going to listen to dad. They're going to be like, dad, we can pick you up and move you out of the way.
I'm actually scared of that too, low key. I think it's just a little bit of my ego, but you know, my wife's tall. I'm decently tall.
Oh, you're having a D1 son. He's going somewhere.
It's not that. It's just that I don't know if my ego right now is ready to handle looking up at my son. You ever thought about that?
Oh, all the time. All the time. I look at my kid now. He's 5 feet tall. Me and him. So just for
5 feet tall, and how old?
He just turned 7.
Oh.
So backtrack. I think I don't know about time anymore. This was pre-COVID. So this was 2019.
Time before COVID was a thing. Time post, like now, yeah. Is just
you
like get, this.
It's pre-COVID, post-COVID. Dude, 2020 was 2 years ago. That's crazy to me.
I don't even know where it went.
But me and him, we rode what was Top Gun. We rode a roller coaster. He was 3 years old. I was like, am I a good parent? They're like, this ride is the second fastest ride in all of the park at 76 miles an hour. And I'm just like, homie, don't black out. And I won't black out either, but let's just get off this ride. It ended, and he was like, let's do it again. And I was like, my man, I can't wait till you're like 15, 16.
Oh, you guys are going to have some fun together, man.
Oh, I can't wait. So my kids know, naturally, as everybody does, they've got iPads, they've got phones. They know YouTube, TikTok. They ask me all the time, how many subscribers you got? And I'm just
no
like,
way.
I'm like, dude, and they know, like, my jokes are dirty, or they're innuendos, or they're double entendres.
We would say they're not they're PG-13, a G-rated.
They're not G-rated or PG. They push the PG to the R. And they know that I post on TikTok, and they know that they're not allowed to watch them till they're older. Once they're older, we're going to kill it.
I'm going to try to play one right now.
You can do. So my therapist today told me, hey, just start replacing the word problem with opportunity. So as I see it, we don't have a drinking problem. No, what we have at hand is a drinking opportunity. So my.
Easy. And that grabbed almost a million views right there. It's that easy?
It's that easy. TikTok is crazy how on TikTok you, and we can get into a whole conversation on this. And I've enjoyed watching. There's a handful of friends that I've made off of TikTok, or peers, or just people that I have followed. And literally overnight, they'll blow up. Life-changing blow up. Not on everybody, but a handful of people. And me, of course, yes, that would be nice. But I just get on there and I just post because I'm like, hey, I want to make other people laugh. Not everybody is. This is not going to be everybody's cup of tea with this joke that I've hit here that makes you think sexually. But for those who are like me, yes, you're going to love it. And I just want to get a little laugh, a little kick. So that's why I love comedy for that aspect.
Well, first of all, you have a gift. And I'm guessing that you come up with these off the top, right? Like, this is not...
Yeah, I sit at work. So when I'm working at work on my off breaks and time off, I will just think, they'll just randomly come to me.
Yeah.
And I've started to actually write down scripts and things like that. And we can talk about this later, but I want to get into stand-up comedy. But just sticking to TikTok, I made a Subway joke just for the sake that I got a Subway sandwich. And like, you want a 6-inch or a 12-inch? And I was like, I can make a joke out of this. Like, you know, tell me without telling me kind of thing.
I'm a fan of your 3- and 4-inch jokes, by the way.
Exactly. those are the funniest comments when I make, I think I posted one. It was like, you can, what was the tweet? It was like, you get $1 million for every inch of your piece that you cut off. And I was like, well, I'm gonna cut the whole thing off. I'm gonna have a whole $3 million. And you're like, wait a second. That's something's not right about this comment. Yeah. And then people get on there and they're like, well, I'd have $10 million. And I'm like, I don't think so, homie. I think you're tooting a little off there right there.
Yeah. Okay, Chad. You know,
shout out to my best friend, Chad. He is a Chad. And when he hears this, he's So my buddy Chad, and I love him. He's 5'10" on a good day. Mm. Oh, and I know he's rolling his eyes at this right now. He would kick my ass. So he would for sure, but he would have to get up on a ladder to do so. So it's a give and take right there. Love you, Chad.
Another shout out Chad.
Exactly. That's the only shout out I'm doing right there.
Yeah. I shouted out Charlene. No more shout outs. This is not a paid partnership. This is not a sponsored content. This is off the top, just like Andrew's TikToks.
All off the top.
So when I first saw TikTok, I don't know what year it was. Like I said, we've lost track of the time. The only thing I saw was like Charlie D'Amelio and 16-year-olds dancing on there. So yes. When I saw you on TikTok, I was like, what's happening?
Oh, I got TikTok just like everybody did during the pandemic, which was in 2020. And got to think, I'm 28 now. So 2 years ago, I might have been 26, I'm going to say, is when I probably started. My sister at the time, who was 14, she had 30,000 likes. And I was like, really? I was like, I can do this. I think I'm funny enough to do this. Granted, I missed the Vine train. I've never posted on YouTube. I've just always been literally go to work, be a dad, go to sleep, rinse, and that's the cycle.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can do this. So I did it, 30,000 likes. And then I hit 1,000 followers and could go live. And it literally was just me and my buddy Chad on a headset going live. And then a few people would join. And then all of a sudden, I had one video hit like 2 million views. And every time I would open my phone, it was like 1,000 followers, 2,000 followers, 3,000 followers, comment. And I was like, okay, now we're at 10,000. And I was always like, man, what if we hit 50,000? And then we hit 50,000. I'm like, what if I hit 100,000? And then I hit 100,000. And I'm like, dude, I'm just posting randomness. But also riding the wave with momentum until I'm like, hey, I think I've run this joke into the ground. I'm going to change up the content. But yeah, TikTok is, I feel like I'm in the old group just for the sake that I'm not 21-ish.
Like, well, I think it's fascinating because like, I really, you know, the Geico commercials are like, you're becoming your parents.
Yes.
And they pull up to the game and they're like, oh, we're parked near the exit. This is great. I feel like I'm turning into them a little bit. They're like, oh, I'm not doing MySpace and Facebook. And then here I am at 27 now. And I'm like, TikTok, that's where I draw the line.
Yes.
So I don't have one, but I watch all of yours, obviously through Instagram. Cause that's like my, that feels comfortable to me. You know, looking back on the old days we started out with AIM.
Oh God, we did. We had,
you know, messaging your fifth grade sweetheart or your friends to go meet you in the street.
SL All-Star was my username. South Lexington All-Star. Oh, I mean, we were.
I was a Tar Heel 23 AM.
I can promise you one thing. In middle school, I was getting.
Those were tough times. Those were. I'm going to say.
I have bloomed since middle school me and high school me. For the people that do know him, it was so cringe.
I'm going to say you look like a naked mole rat in a way.
I was bald. I was bald. And somehow I had a girlfriend and had people. The bald look was so bad. But our middle school basketball coach made us shave our head. And then I, once a week for like 10 years, I just shaved my head.
Not only were we, you know, haircut, I had a one guard all around. I looked like.
I had a chin strap at one point.
I still don't have a chin strap. I can't even grow facial hair.
I finally grew a beard where the piece is connected and I didn't look patchy. So it's.
Well, I'm 27 years into life and still waiting for my moment. So, you know, universe, take care of me here. Not only that, but we were wearing a black low top Reeboks. So the cool points, the cool points in middle school were about as non-existent as our love life.
So I thought I was cool in middle school, and I was not, because I was very shy. I would drop a P word, but I'm going to be clean on here. But I was very shy. And but I had a big-ass chain. And I say big-ass chain because our middle school coach called me out. Me and you were the only sixth graders in there. We got our practice gear. We're sitting in a classroom, a lot of eighth graders. And he goes, Andrew, take that big-ass chain off. I know it ain't diamond. I know it ain't platinum. And of course it wasn't. But that's one. I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh, shit. How do I just leave? I don't want to play basketball anymore. Let me take this chain off.
Well, dude, the ego. So, I mean, just everything. You're so fragile back then. You think you're cool. We had on.
Oh, we thought we were the. I used to wear double shirts.
Do you remember wearing? Do you remember wearing tall tee, long polos?
Yes,
with jean shorts and Air Forces.
I wore. I owned two pair of Air Forces, and I told my mom I'm sorry for buying me those Air Forces because they were so. I'm a white dude, and it just did not. I wore it so bad. It did not. They were creased. It did not flow. I only own two pairs.
Well, the funny thing is those things, you know how they say fashion comes full circle? Now you look, I'm sure you can look on TikTok or you can look on Instagram, and every single high schooler has Air Force Ones on.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And back then, we thought we were setting trends. And
there's TikToks about having black Air Force energy. And I'm like, I don't know the hell if I know what that means, but okay.
I think I have a clue. I think that's like, you got to be a different type of cat to wear some black Air Force Ones. Like, everybody can wear the white ones, but if you're wearing the black ones, you're the type of dude to like walk outside and with no shirt on. And
I am not that dude. I am wearing a shirt every time I go outside.
Nah, that's definitely not you. But hey, the glow up has been very real for you. You know, we're here now, and who would have thought?
Oh, nobody. Us two. As we were eating 7 McChickens.
Sitting at my house playing Guitar Hero, you know.
And now we're here. You've got a podcast. I'm on TikTok and Instagram, and I've got people that enjoy, which seems, I love it. It seems crazy to me. Just for that sake that people like my videos. That's just the whole, like, gotta think. Like I said, I'd never posted on Vine. I've not posted on YouTube. I literally never had any thought of posting anything. Granted, do you remember the show Robin Big?
What?
love it. I mean, give me your dog.
Raisin.
Yes, he's a baby. little inside joke for everybody that's not going
to
pick that up.
If you're listening to this, you know what that means.
I remember in middle school and high school being like, I could do this. Give me a camera where we've got a crew on us at all times and we'll kill this. And then, obviously, that never happened, and I never did anything. Up until my sister challenged me that she had 30,000 likes. And I was like, I can do this. And now I'm at 15 million likes, 600,000 plus followers. Crazy. I love it. It's very fun. But who would have thought that I would be a millennial TikToker and you've got your podcast?
Not me. I never saw this day. I'm like driving from Louisville, because I live there now, driving here, and I'm like laughing to myself in the car, like, what is happening? Like,
exactly.
Hatcher's a legitimate TikTok like star, and I've got a podcast that people actually like listen to, and I look like I know what I'm doing.
You got to just fake it till you make it, pretty much.
But like the less,
but it's we're not. It's a legit thing.
This is the thing, like. You've always been funny. You've always made stupid jokes that are funny.
Within my own group.
To yourself.
Exactly. But now we've, as you get older, you blossom, you bloom.
You just become more comfortable. Like, we're not, you know, I'm not in middle school at like 5'5" thinking I'm the man, and you're not with a bald head with a big ass chain on.
Yes.
Thinking you're balling. We're just like far more secure in ourselves and like, you know what? I'm not going to live life and just not go for something.
Right. And it's like listening, you know, like I said, I've listened to every one of your podcasts. I'm a huge baseball fan, so I love hearing all these dudes talk. But they all have the same thing. They don't care what everybody else thinks. Mm. Literally no one is focused on you. Like when you think, man, like what is this person going to think? Literally maybe your parents, your friend, like no one but you cares. Like, If you kill it, if you do great, good, you do. But no one's thinking about you like that.
Right. And
so once you get out of that mindset, I'm like, hey, if I do stand up, if I post this video and you don't like it, you don't like it. Somebody does, but I don't care. Hey, you talk crap, I don't care.
Yeah. You're getting to the point now. And so am I with this podcast. Like, I started out doing it because I was like, I think I have something here. Like, I think this could be a thing. People ask me to talk to them, whether it's pregame interviews, postgame interviews, radio shows, other podcasts, as a guest. I'm like, why can't I do this? And you've always been able to make people laugh. And right. Now, you're like, why can't I just go for this? And I'm not going to be regretful if like this thing doesn't work out the way I think it's going to go. We both knew we had something. and we weren't afraid to just go for it. But if we didn't, like, do this, we'd be looking back and be like, what are we doing? Like,
exactly. Right. And I mean, that's my whole thing with, like I said, I'm thankful for my sister for saying, hey, big brother, you suck. I've got more likes than you. I challenge you to do this. And I did it. But now that has led to, eventually I'll make content for YouTube. TikTok, you can only make up to 3 minutes. I don't have content that's worth more than 3 minutes right now. I don't know what I'm getting through there, but I've only done this for about a year and a half. And I've never thought about this up until the pandemic. So it's one of those things. It's like the worst thing that can happen is I look back and say, why didn't I try? Even if it fails and I flop on my face, at least I tried it and know, hey, I didn't miss something. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're on the right track for sure. And this is the cool part, because like I have a vision for where I think this show's going, and I have a vision for where I think my baseball career is going. And I also do things to line up with making that happen. Like, it's been cool to really take control of this whole show and not be relying on a team to put out the content or do right. that stuff. Same with you. You don't have anybody helping you, like, co-produce these TikToks.
It's just me.
It's just you.
It's just me.
It's kind of hard to believe, though, because I, like, look at it and I'm like, damn, he's like everyone else that's, like, super famous on TikTok. Right. And now you're about to take this thing to another level, and that's why, you know, I call this show Unfinished, because...
Oh, we're just getting started.
We're just getting started. We don't know where this thing's going to finish, like you said when I got in here.
I hope one day, if I can put into, you know, everybody's all about manifesting.
Yeah, speak that into existence. This is the place for manifestation.
Right now, we can mark it down on this timestamp. One day, I'm going to get on this podcast, and it's going to be a huge podcast, and I'm also going to be promoting a Netflix or whatever stand-up special. There's going to be something through there. You're going to have killed it on this podcast and professional sports, and I'm going to be up there in the comedy world. Whether it's stand-up or acting, I don't know. It's only been a year and a half. I've never put any thought into this, but that's the direction. Something's going to come from this.
Well, I think you have put some thought into it, because if I remember correctly, you recently just kind of pulled up to a open mic session and kind of visualized yourself up there, or no?
Oh, we did, yes.
So tell me about that experience.
So I watched that, and you got to think, it's just me. So all of this time through TikTok and Instagram, it's just been my mind. And it's kind of one of those things for you. You're a baseball player. If you want to get better at baseball, you're going to associate yourself with baseball players.
You must be listening to the you must be listening to Unfinished.
I was going
to
say, I love this podcast.
Thanks,
man. But those people are going to push you to get better. You're going to learn more. You're going to improve your technique and things like that. For me, I want to get in with any local comics who know what they're doing, just to get in and say, hey, like, I want to do stand-up. I've got a handful of ideas. We'll see if they actually work or not. But whether or not if I kill it, or bomb, which there's going to be plenty of bombing. I'm at that point where I'm like, hey, I don't care. If no one laughs, then okay, how do I improve it? How can I figure it out from here? But I love the fact of making people laugh. And that's what has driven me through this whole thing is, you know, everybody's got depression, things like that. When I feel sad and depressed, I like laughing. So if I can make someone else laugh through that, mission successful.
Yes, and you're definitely being successful based on how many people have just reached out to you and been like, hey.
Oh, it's fun.
Isn't that the best feeling? And that's the thing, like, I'm doing this show kind of for others, but at the same time, like, I feel like through this process, I'm growing from it, but I'm also, like, I enjoy talking.
Yes.
Talking to you is like, filling me up.
I've been looking forward to this for a while. Like, this is fun.
This is exciting. But at the same time, I did this show because I wanted people to hopefully learn from our experiences that we've gone through, you know, the failures and
exactly
the darker times, to realize that there is another side and that you can trust yourself, believe in yourself, be secure in yourself enough to go for whatever you're thinking about doing or being on the fence on. Because I've been thinking about doing something like this for about a year. You were thinking about doing jokes or something like that for I don't know how long. What would you say?
Exactly. Like I said, in middle school, I was like, hey, man, we're funny enough to where we could get something. And then, you know, you go through a different path in life and you forget about things. And then, like I said, once I saw one TikTok video do well, I was like, oh, I got this. Like I can, I enjoy this. I can do it. Let me just see what I can create and come up with. And that's part of my thing is I look at, you know, I don't have anybody's names, but like, I know for sure when Oprah was 28, she wasn't Oprah. Like all of these people who are established people now, they weren't that when they were 28.
No.
So, and, you know, let me tie into the whole unfinished podcast.
Yes.
We ain't finished. We got a lot of, we got a lot of way to go. And I can't wait to see, by the time I'm 35, I can't wait to see where I'm at and right? what has happened. And I hope it's amazing.
That's the cool, it will be. First of all, this is the place for manifesting things and putting things into the universe exactly. that are very positive.
We're going to manifest all of it.
Yes. The coolest part about this is that we're going to have documentation of this whole process and be able to look back on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's something that, how cool would it be to see Denzel and Oprah and people like that, you know, the Bo Burnhams of the world, people like that, to see their journey because, like you just said,
yes,
where she is now and where they are now, it's not where they've always been. Where we meet people is not where they've always been. So, like, what made them them?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? What makes you you? And to hear you, like, just continue to grow in self-confidence and all of these things and just kind of going through this journey as becoming more secure in yourself, that leads me to this question where I'm curious, getting likes is like very, it gives a dopamine hit, right?
It does.
Like for me, hitting a home run, dopamine hit.
Exactly.
People saying they enjoy this podcast, like that gives me life.
Right.
So are you at a point where you're secure in yourself enough to not necessarily be wavered by if something flops, is that going to derail you? Or are you starting to do things from a place where I'm doing this because I like it? Or if people don't like this, I'm going to feel like I'm not on my game.
Yes. So I would say totally at first you post a video and you just want to look at your phone. You're like, oh, how's it doing? How's it doing? How's it doing? And it's not doing well. And then once you, I mean, especially with TikTok, once you get some followers, clearly you're like, hey, I'm doing something right. Like something's working. And now it's to the point where I'm like, do what I want to do. And if 10,000 people like it or it cracks 300,000 likes, like, hey, perfect. I thought it was funny for what I want to do. And whether it's 1,000 people, that's 1,000 people who liked it. Even if 10,000 people didn't like it, doesn't matter. 1,000 people liked it, so I made 1,000 people laugh. Perfect. What if it's one person? Beautiful. If it's nobody, then I'm like, oh God, what did I do? What did I do wrong?
Maybe back to the drawing board there.
But that's why I want to get into stand-up comedy is because when you post a video on TikTok, all I see are numbers. Yeah. I see this has been liked. This has been this.
Yeah.
But I've made a ton of friends through TikTok.
Yeah,
which is awesome. And but with stand-up, you get that live reaction, and that's what I want to make people. I want to make people laugh. I want to have people having drinking. You laugh, you forget about whatever shit is going on in life for a matter of a few minutes to an hour.
Yeah,
and that would be the ultimate goal. But no, now I'm at the point where if I post a video, I only get on social media to post. I don't scroll a ton. Maybe late at night I'll scroll because if you scroll on TikTok or Instagram, you get caught in a wormhole of, wow, I think 3 hours just passed. What am I doing with my...
Well, I'm sure you've seen a Netflix documentary or two. They've got us cornered. They know what we like. They know what we don't like.
They have hit that attention span.
The algorithm is insane.
It is. And I will say there are some times that I will post where you are trying to... You know, you're trying to get that algorithm a little bit. Like, you know, that kind of thing. But for the most part here, I'm like, hey, I've got a solid joke. I'm going to post this and we'll just see what happens.
It's interesting to hear you say that because with, like I said, with this podcast, I don't know who's listening. And right. I guess I went into it with no expectations because I've been told many a times, like expectations lead to disappointments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have expectations for your videos or... What does that kind of process look like?
When I post, if you know, it's always you have so what'll happen? You'll have a video that'll get a million views, or, you know, more than a million views. And then you'll get a video that gets 15,000 views. And you're like, dang, okay, what happened there? Like, what the heck? Like, I just had all these things. You got that big hit of dopamine where TikTok is keeping you hooked.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeping you on the app kind of thing. But I will say it's very cool seeing the same people who have followed you from the beginning and you become friends with. That is a very cool aspect of all of it. But no, I'm just out there posting. Of course, yes, it would be sick to have a million followers. Or
you just, see, just
I've
so
watched, I've watched a few creators who I enjoy, and they've literally through the pandemic, they've gone from a normal person to 43 million followers or 100 million followers, and it's just insane at how if you can hit one thing, your life can change. And it's very cool. I love that aspect. I'm not selfish. I want to see everybody succeed, especially my friends, things like this.
Yeah.
Help me help you. I don't want to be like, hey, I want to kill it doing this and I don't care about you. I want everybody to get a piece of the pie.
Right.
So it's very cool seeing everybody else do things like that.
Yeah, I agree. I think growing up, we're always taught to compete. You know, we always played sports and you feel like you're competing against other people, but like you said, we get older and life gives you experience. And then you start to realize that like somebody else having success doesn't hurt your chances of success.
Exactly.
If anything, it's probably going to increase your odds because they've just kind of opened the door a little bit more for you. So to hear you say that is really cool. And just so people can reach, you know, your videos or whatever, right. where can they follow you?
So TikTok and Instagram.
I'll put this in the bio, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say. So the username is ahatch011. And I've always gone. So my name is Andrew, never Andy. We don't ever go by Andy. I will never.
My name's Anderson. And
I love. Now, if a female's name Andy, you know, we just happen to know somebody whose wife who's named Andy. I enjoy it as a girl. Me personally, though, I think a Toy Story, it just never clicked.
Yeah, same. I think of the little. Oh gosh, man.
But I've always gone by Hatch or Hatcher.
Yes.
But Ahatch was always a gamer tag on Xbox Live. When we were growing up. So
the glory days.
So Ahatch has just always been all my friends. It's Ahatch, Hatch, Hatcher. So we just went with Ahatch. And you know, here we are.
What does happen from here?
Stand.
When can people expect to see your first show? Do you have any announcement dates?
I don't have anything. I don't have anything yet. But this is one of those things where I've talked about it so much, you can't let me bitch out of it now.
I won't. I'll hold you accountable. I'm not scared.
So there's And that's the thing too, between Lexington, I've found venues in Louisville that host open mic, and honestly, I just want to get on stage as much as I possibly can. And I've got a notebook back here. I've got a handful of things written down. And for me personally, I'm not a perfectionist, but I want to get up there. And even if I bomb, I've got everything memorized. I know exactly, you know, like you said, when you're playing baseball, you've got a game plan going in. You're not just like, okay, let me think of it on the spot kind of thing.
Well, if I am doing that, I'm failing.
Exactly. So. Right. I'm going to bomb. So I want to make sure that I've got whatever the time slot is given, I know that back, forward and back. I want to say within the next couple. So whenever this drops, within the next few weeks, I will definitely post on Instagram. Hey, I'm doing an open mic here, and I want everybody to come out. Whether or not I'm good or bad, I don't care. I want everybody to experience this together. I don't want to do it just by myself.
Yeah, and you know, you've heard some of my baseball episodes, and we always talk about it. These are guys that are playing at the highest level, and you see yourself going to the highest level of comedy, which I don't think it's that far-fetched. Like,
is the goal.
It's not a hot take to me. Like, your timing and just, like, it's just very natural to you. Your delivery is very natural. Experience is the best teacher.
Exactly.
Like, I know things now about myself and the game and the ins and outs of the business of the game that somebody would have told me at 21, and I would have been like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah, we'll see you there. Like, all right, yeah, cool. And now I'm like, oh, I would have never learned that unless I went through it. And that's going to be the best thing for you is to just get out there. And here's the thing. You're going to kill it.
Oh, it's going to. It's manifested. It's going to. If you go in thinking, oh, I might suck. Well, then you're going to suck. If I go out there thinking, hey, I'm going to kill this, even if I don't kill it, you can't have this. going back on your podcast here between your thinking.
Are you going? Are you archiving? Are you quoting the show?
I have a mind of a steel trap that doesn't pertain to algebra or geometry or any shit they taught you in high school.
No one does. No.
There's a reason why I only did two semesters of college, and you know.
Hey man, you're a TikToker. Do you think TikTokers are going to college to do TikTok, or you think they're just doing TikTok?
Well, they're not teaching no renegades in high school or college now.
No sir.
So no.
What's the coolest thing that you've received through your?
TikTok experience.
I don't really know how your career. I'm going to call it a career.
It is
because it's turning into a career.
And that is weird. It's weird to say just for the sake that this started just off a competition with my sister, but now it's turned awesome. Into financial opportunities, meeting people opportunities, and then super grateful for anything that's ever been sent into the PO box. Like I said, I've got a Kansas City Royals hat that, given at the time you were with the Royals organization.
Go Royals at the time.
I've got a Royals hat. There was someone that I'm friends with in Toronto, and they sent me a Toronto Raptors hat, a jersey, NBA championship shirt, which was super, like if nothing ever gets sent to the PO box, I'm grateful for
that. Dude, that's awesome.
That's awesome. But people enjoy my videos enough, they're like, hey, I'm going to send this guy, super grateful for it.
It's awesome.
But I think with that, but then I've also met, again, if I fly to Arizona, California, Washington, Florida, Ohio, literally every state I've met somebody.
Yeah. Are you getting, are people like, oh, yes, that's you.
Yeah. So
you're the dude from TikTok.
So I got at a Lexington Legends game. You shout out, you played for the Legends. I was at a Legends game and I had my kids with me. And this lady approached me and she was like, hey, just wanted to let you know. She's like, I know you got your kids with you. She's like, I've got a bunch of teenagers. They all recognize you from TikTok. I just want to let you know that they're freaking out, but they didn't want to say anything because you had your kids. And I was like, I was like, I'll be honest. This is the first time. I don't know what to say, but I love it. Like, super thankful for it. And then I've been, I think I work as an optician inside of Walmart in the heart of Lexington. I see everybody from high school, everybody. I've been recognized a handful of times at Walmart, which is always super cool.
I think my mom's seen you at Walmart, just for the record.
I've seen everybody and your mom at Walmart.
That's so funny to me. I don't know why.
And then I went and bought alcohol at Kroger. And the homie was like, hey, man, keep posting those videos. And I'm just like, huh? Oh, okay.
Got you, my man.
So it is very cool to be recognized. Again, I wear a handful as naturally as any Kentucky fan would. I wear a lot of Kentucky, merchandise. So I feel like anytime I do that, people just pick up, hey, he's, Kentucky brethren right here kind of thing.
Well, here's the thing about UK gear. Never. I grew up not drinking the Kool-Aid of being a Kentucky fan. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah, I think at the time we had a Florida Gator. We had a lot of things.
You were a Tennessee Volunteers fan. I was a Florida Gator fan. We were just all kind of twisted around. But I've gotten to the point where I can acknowledge a good team when I see them. And I just want all the UK fans to know this is really going to hurt me to say, because if you know me at all, I have never once really said, go Cats. Go Big Blue.
He's not a
hashtag BBN.
Not a Kentucky fan.
That is, you will have to literally drug me for those words to leave my lips voluntarily. But I will say, you guys have a good basketball team this year. They're kind of fun to watch.
They're good this year, and we sucked last year. Last year was, I literally was in the car two days ago. I was like, who did we play last year in the NCAA championship? And I Googled it and I was like, oh my God, we didn't make it.
They didn't make it.
No, we didn't make it. We didn't make it.
Well, those years are enjoyable for me because I don't feel any internal conflict to be like, maybe I should acknowledge the Wildcats. But man, so far this year for me as a Western Kentucky fan, go Tops.
We did put a whooping on the Hilltoppers.
You guys smack, you guys put us in our place as you should, but we beat Louisville, and I'm happy about that.
Look, I was a Hilltopper fan when they crushed Louisville.
Right.
Any day Louisville loses is a great day. I don't care who wins. I don't care who wins. I've always said two things. I will never wear a Louisville Cardinal or Duke Blue Devil gear. I would rock Yankees gear all day long before I ever touch a Cardinal. Not the Arizona Cardinals, because I'm a huge Arizona Cardinal fan. No Louisville, no Duke. Oh,
we're going to have to get into that then, because the Arizona Cardinals have a franchise quarterback that didn't want to play like a franchise quarterback when franchise quarterbacks are supposed to play like franchise quarterbacks.
Oh, they stunk. I had to call my buddy Chad.
What happened?
They stunk. I'm not a football guy. I don't know the ins and outs when they talk about a nose tackle and a guard. That's fine. I like, you know, he throws the ball, he hands the ball off, touchdown.
Well, how about this for a game analysis of the Kyler Murray versus the Rams?
We got spanked.
Kyler Murray's going to get the ball, and he's going to run around, and he's going to run around.
And he didn't do that.
And panic.
They threw the ball a lot. But then again, you got Donald, you got Miller.
I get it, though, man. Did you know, this is completely random, Aaron Donald is 6'1", 295 pounds of pure savagery.
You could have quizzed me on, I don't know how tall a lineman is.
Do you know anybody that's 6'1", 295 pounds with a six-pack?
Not that anybody can think of. I don't
know. He's basically a silverback gorilla in football pads.
I just know I never played football, and I don't know how it feels to get just leveled, just, you know, hit.
It's funny because I played football for a little bit, briefly, and I loved playing defense. I hated playing offense. Getting hit, it just, like, you know when you ever wake up in the morning and your hands don't feel like they work and they don't want to close, you feel like really weak? That's what it feels like when you get just obliterated into next week. It's like you don't want to get up and you just want to lay there.
Right.
And it's not fun. But to hit somebody is one of the most fun things that I've ever done. And playing baseball is fun, but it's just not the same adrenaline rush as playing football or basketball.
See, I would have played quarterback. If I ever play, and there's a reason my parents, anytime I was like, hey, I want to play football, all my friends are playing, my parents would be like, stick to baseball, stick to basketball. There's a reason. I would have got hit and I never would have woken up. Like, I was not built for football. And I knew that. But I loved striking someone out. If I could throw a knuckleball and I could watch someone swing and miss, oh God, nothing got me more going than watching that. And just being like, I struck you out, and I take that long walk back. And I always envision myself playing professional baseball. I can vividly remember my stepdad. I had a chest surgery when I was 16, which knocked me out of sports, and we'll just leave it at that, because that is a long conversation. But I was 15, and my stepdad handed me a packet of colleges, and I was like, dude, I'm going to college. I'm going to get a ride. I'm going to go pro, and that's end of discussion. And then, like, 6 months later, I've got a surgery, lost 50 pounds. They're like, you're not playing sports till your senior year. And now everybody has developed 3 years ahead of me. And I'm like, well, I guess sports is done for me.
Well, here's the beauty.
But I love striking people out.
But here's the beauty of all of that.
Are you
where you are right now?
Exactly.
With all of that happening?
Right. So I'm a huge, for the movie fans out there, I'm a huge Back to the Future fan. All of them. Love them. So I would never change anything in my path of life between what has happened to where I am now, because something else is going to change. So I am content where I'm at now. I'm happy. I'm excited. And sports is never going to happen, but I'm going to kill it in stand-up comedy. And that's,
you're not going to kill it. It's
going to happen.
You're basically doing stand-up comedy, but you're just in people's phones instead of on a physical
stage.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the beautiful thing about life, man. And we're always learning from what we went through, and hindsight's always 20/20. So what's the biggest thing that you've learned up to this point that you're going to take with you into stand-up comedy?
Oh boy, we've gotten deep.
We're here.
I think
it's that time of the show.
For me personally, it is, you have to care what people think to an extent. If people aren't laughing, you need to look and be like, why? Okay, maybe this joke didn't hit. But if I get up there and people are like, man, this is stupid. This is cool. If that's your opinion, great. If 10 other people are laughing, I'll take those. Like, it's not, you know, look at all the comedians out there. I'm a huge fan of Dave Chappelle. he is not liked by, he's liked by a lot of people. He's also liked, disliked by a lot of people.
But also
Kevin Hart, Bill Burr, but same thing. Things that...
Isn't that the goal?
Yeah.
Like, you're there to stir up, you're there to incite a reaction. I think the worst possible outcome for you would for somebody to be there and feel neither.
Right. The people who are, when I post and say, hey, I'm doing stand up here, the people that are going to come see me know what to expect. The people who are like, hey, this guy's an idiot, he's not funny, they're not going to come. Like, I'm doing this for the people that like my sense of comedy. But also, like I said, my end goal, I want you to laugh. I want you to forget about whatever shit and drama you're going on with life, because we're all going through something. I want you, through this time period, to just laugh, forget about it, and feel good. That's my goal. And that's what I enjoy. But, you know, we got to see what happens.
That was fire right there. I'm going to do a little quick hitter segment. I know you've been shredding paper all day.
I know I am ready.
And listening to the show, so you knew this was coming. So
I'm ready.
I'm gonna play our little crack of the bat here.
Oh, I love it.
Thanks, man. It's the little things, you know. it really is the little things. So you know how this goes. I'm gonna hit you with anything.
No, I'm ready.
I
have no idea what to expect.
I don't know what to expect either. usually these just come off the top of my head. Okay. How many takes does it
one
for you to get that perfect TikTok?
One take.
Really?
I do everything in one take. There's been a couple videos where I've done it in two takes, but I am already, you're not going to get anything more authentic than that first go round. Because there's been times where I'm like, maybe I could do it this way and I'll delete it. And then I'm never going to hit. Now it seems scripted, which is my whole kind of thing. For most of my jokes, I'm in my car. Maybe I'm in my house, but I'm always on a lunch break. I'm on a, you know, just a break. And I'm like, hey, I've got this word that I can somehow tie back together. Let's do one take. Let's roll with it. Let's do it. Hit post. If you start to overthink it, now you're doing too much.
Yeah.
And you roll with it. And sometimes, honestly, the TikToks that I do one take and I just post it, they do the best. The ones that you take time and you try and do this, they just don't work.
That's really interesting because, you know, I'm on a completely different side, but we're both creating content.
Exactly.
I don't have a script for this because then things can kind of fizzle out a little bit. It can fall flat. You can get stagnant.
Exactly.
The natural flow of like your energy and my energy kind of going back and forth, bouncing off of each other, kind of disappears. And I feel like people can feel that, which is weird to say, but
well, you can tell when someone is on a script versus this.
We're just shooting the
shit. We literally just put on the headsets and we literally just threw the headsets on and we just started talking. And that's what I like to do. It's authentic. So when I do TikToks, there's been a couple that I will write down, you know, for my, if sex had a post game interview, which I've got a great set for baseball and hockey and golf that I've got to revamp and do. I just got to get, I want a baseball jersey to put on. I got the eye black ready to go.
Dude, I have a baseball jersey for you.
Exactly. So, you know,
no, seriously,
get a little Miller jersey to throw on. But it's authentic the first time for me personally. It's not for everybody. But again, that's why I want to do stand-up, is because there is no takes. It's you get up there and you're either going to shoot your pants or you're going to kill. It's one of the two. And I can't wait.
That's
can't
crazy wait. To me. Like, it's funny. It's funny that, I don't know. First of all, I was expecting you to say it takes multiple takes because they're so good that it's like, holy shit, this guy's incredible. That's crazy, man. And then the other part of me is like, I could never do that. And then I also think, wait a minute, I do that because I'm playing baseball. There's no redos once I swing the bat. I'm like,
right.
Hey, I'm going to redo.
Hold on, those three strikes didn't count. Let me retry this.
Yeah, hey, pitcher, throw it right here. Like, no, that doesn't happen. But also that makes the beauty of success a little bit more fun. That was really interesting right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Next one.
One take.
One take hatch. I have a first take Drake playlist on my because that's what he calls himself. I don't know if it's true or not.
I'm a huge fan of Drake. I love it.
Good, man. Who else are you a fan of? I love to talk about pop culture.
We got to think. We saw Drake. Did we go to the concert together?
Yes, that was my first concert ever. Coliseum, Drake. Mm-hmm. It was $20 tickets.
It was the best concert I've ever been to because of the fact that it was in a small venue. It was cheap tickets. It was right before his thank me. Was it his thank me late? Weezy was in jail.
Yes.
The entire crowd sang Weezy's verse, and we were just, and then Trey Songz came out, but Drake was Drake. Like, he wasn't Drake that he is today. Like, now he's selling out Rupp and everything. Now it was an excellent concert to go to before he really became Drake.
That's one of those stories. I know you were talking about, like, you hold on to the fact that you were the World Series batting champ.
Right. I remember.
When people ask me, like, hey, tell me a cool story, I'm like, I've got two. Nothing about baseball. Nothing about all the people I know or spend time around. It's like, I went to Drake's concert for $20 before he blew up, and John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins came out on the stage. It was before he blew up. And then my other one, I saw Kendrick Lamar in college in Nashville. I was three rows away from front stage, and I paid $15 for my ticket.
That would be sick.
And it was before Good Kid, Mad City dropped. So nobody really knew who he was, but I had been listening to his mixtapes for a long time.
Oh, I remember, I love the Mad City album, but I vividly remember you being a massive fan of the Backseat Freestyle. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called.
Yes.
So anytime I hear that, I'm just like, this makes me think of Anderson just for this freestyle. And you bought a shirt at the Drake concert, did you not?
Yes, my wife wears it now.
I'm sure all of your hoodies, all your clothes, it's not Anderson's, it's our clothes.
It's what's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers, and not mine.
You're right. And as long as you know that, then happy marriage. And now once you have your son,
yes,
none of it's yours.
No, she's actually, so pregnancy has become the I'm going to wear Anderson's clothes stage of life. And I thought it was bad in college. Like, she would take my hoodies out of my closet. Now I look in my closet, and then I look in the living room, and I go, that's interesting. I was about to wear that today. And then I'm like, no, I'm not. Okay.
And you're totally fine with it. You're like, this is fine. Take my entire word. I'm not wearing your clothes.
Seriously.
But you wear mine.
Seriously, though, like, it's been so cool. Like, I'm so happy and excited for everything that's going on. It's really just been fun to watch. It's like the whole thing, especially after we went through, you know, a miscarriage in April of last year. That was brutal.
Exactly.
It's just made us appreciate this whole experience and journey a lot more.
Well, I was going to say, I'll comment there, because that is a huge, this is one of those things, and maybe this is a conversation for a different time, but I've got three sons, but I also had a miscarriage. My wife at the time had a miscarriage, so I could have four kids.
Yeah.
And this is one of those things that I've told a few friends. So whoever listens to this podcast, you are on some inside info that I've not talked about this before. Maybe this is the bourbon that helps with that. But that is one of those things I always wonder. Would that have been my daughter? I've got three sons. Would that have been another son? Am I banking a basketball team at this point? But it's one of those things that people don't know. It's one of those uncomfortable conversations that it's good to have at the right place and the right time. But it does make you appreciate your first, the next child.
Yeah.
You're like, it's just one of the, and it's the same thing. Once your child's born and you're holding your baby son, I can't explain that moment, but you're going to know in that moment what it feels like. And I'm excited for you. Because I know what that feels like. And then that child's going to grow up to be seven, and they're going to tell you that you're stupid, and you're going to be like, listen here, my fella. Like, no. Like, you need to know your place.
Bro, I'm not ready for that. But first
you're
of
not,
all,
you're not ready.
thank you for sharing that and just kind of normalizing the conversation of talking about tough topics. Like, I know miscarriages are like this forbid. It's like witching back in the, you know,
right.
Back when Christopher Columbus came over, like,
people, no one wants to talk about
it. No one wants to talk about it, but it's a very common thing, and a lot of people go through it. And I think our generation's kind of just flipping the narrative on that. Our parents' generation kind of grew up with, like, the, you know, you may be feeling this, but just keep moving and stuff, kind of stuff things down and sweep it under the rug and keep moving. And You know, I'm sure 2020 has, and like you've said it a couple times, people are going through depression, anxiety.
Exactly.
That stuff's very real. And it's not something that you should feel ashamed to talk about, because all of us go through it. I go through it. I'm a very big proponent of being in personal therapy and counseling.
Exactly.
Because...
And that's something I just started. That's one of those things.
Yeah.
Grant, you got to think, over the past year, I've got three kids. I've been divorced. There's been a lot of life changes and
absolutely.
Things. And as a dude, you're like, I got it. Big, burly man. I've got it. Whatever. A few weeks ago, I talked to my stepmom, and I was just like, I broke. I was like, finally, it crushed my back. I can't hold on to it anymore. And for me, I was like, oh, this is stupid talking about it. But I don't actually mean that. But once I started talking about it, I'm like, hey, this things feel better. So it's one of those things that, like I said, I like comedy because everybody's depressed at some point or feels bad, but you laughing heals a lot.
You can't be depressed and be laughing at the
right.
same time.
Right, exactly, you know what I mean? Exactly. So that's kind of my thing is I'm like, hey, whatever's going on, I want to put on stand-up comedy to where you can forget about that and you can just laugh. And then, but also there's a huge things where, like I said, stigmas where... Guys, hey, don't talk about your feelings. Be a warrior. Be this. You can be all that, but you got to talk about it, or else you're going to drive yourself nuts.
The best way I can describe it is it's like you're a car driving down the highway and your fuel light's on, and you may not even know it. And at some point, your car is going to stop and you're going to run out of gas.
Exactly.
And
that, something's going to break down.
And the gasket's going to go, and you're going to be like, what happened? But right. I feel like for me, kind of getting into therapy and counseling has been really helpful, because I'm able to check in with myself and see where I'm at and talk about things that may in the past I wouldn't, and they would just weigh me down. And it feels like right. you're just dragging these chains with you. That's no way to live.
Exactly.
And it's really hard to enjoy life. And you're talking about authenticity with First Take, you know, being mm-hmm. on the First Take. It's really hard to be authentic when you're feeling like a shell of yourself, literally right. like you're a fake version of yourself. I don't even know how to explain that. But speaking of just TikTok and kind of wrapping us up here, what's the weirdest request that you've gotten from okay. through your new career?
The weirdest request, and it's rated X, and I'm not gonna say what it is, but I use TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat. You have DM accessibility. I've had a handful of high-priced requests for private content. Oh. Use your imagination. And I'm just like, ooh, I'm here for humor. You know, I'm not here for, you know, what you're... Pardon me, I'm like, well, how much are you offering? I'm curious to see your dollar price. I'm not sending anything, but I'm curious to see what you would pay.
Curiosity yeah. killed the cat. Just so
right.
you know.
Curiosity is not crossing my path in that kind of way. But that for sure is about the weirdest thing. But then I want to say, there's not been anything too weird. I would say everybody's been pretty casual. Because like I said, I'll probably skip over some of the DMs that I don't know from people, or you know, follow them back kind of thing. I'd say for the most part, everybody's been pretty civil. But I'm pretty much straight up stand up, you know, what you see is what you get. I'm not faking anything.
No.
So it's, you know, I know people hate this saying, it is what it is, but it is what it is. Like I, you know, you either like me or you don't, you like what I put out or you don't.
And either way, you're going to keep it moving. And
exactly.
I just want to say thank you for your time, man. You killed it on the show today. Hopefully listeners enjoyed this. Go follow him on TikTok at
Ahatch011 and Instagram. We'll get all the plugs in.
We'll link everything in the bio. If you made it this far, really appreciate your time. I'm going to take us out of here, okay?
You're good. And the next time we'll be on here, we're both going to be huge. This podcast is going to be massive. I'm going to be in the stand-up game, and we will laugh back at this entire conversation. I've had a fun time being on here. I've enjoyed it. Take us out.
Thank you, my man. Thank you guys for listening to the show today. Please go subscribe to the show wherever you're listening to this from. Leave us a 5-star review. Show us some love on Instagram and Twitter or TikTok. Hey, I'm not on there, but you might be. Follow us on IG and Twitter, like I said, at Pod Unfinished. Retweet, repost this, copy the link to the show, share it with your friends. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for your time today. I'm Anderson Miller. This is Unfinished. And that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.